Business. Dipti's got the papers now. Lots of focus, of course, on Saudi Arabia as those Russian and US officials meet in the capital, Riyadh, for those peace talks, Dipti.
Yeah, that's right. US Secretary of State Marco Rubio was already in Riyadh on Monday. He met with the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. He's actually, that meeting is the focus of Arab News' front page picture here. Top US officials arrive in Riyadh for key talks because Marco Rubio today will be meeting with Russian officials still in Riyadh. Saudi Arabia really playing the peacemaker role. US and Russian officials are meeting notably to lay the groundwork for negotiations on Ukraine. Later this week, Riyadh will also host a summit on Gaza. Now, it's all of these important diplomatic meetings have prompted this Saudi Arabian Arab language paper, Ashaq Al-Awsat, to hail today's summit as a major change for international diplomacy and a huge step forward for world peace. For the Middle East, as Donald Trump looks to turn the page on Gaza and Ukraine, all roads seem to lead to Riyadh. The talks this week, the website says, could rewrite the security architecture of Europe, and all of this seemingly without the presence of European leaders, at least if you have a look at some of the cartoons, some of what the cartoonists are saying. This is from Patrick Blower, cartoonist for the Daily Telegraph, who sees Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin there, a bloodstained Vladimir Putin carving out Russia and Ukraine, the war in Russia and Ukraine. And here you have European leaders literally at the kids' table. You also have this cartoon from the Times cartoonist, Morten Morland, who sees the world's autocratic leaders sitting in a cinema, enjoying the show, eating popcorn as they essentially watch Europe really disintegrate in terms of its power and influence to it.
Yeah, you found an article as well, Dipti, from Le Figaro. It analyzes why the US and Moscow have chosen Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. The French Daily says that it might be surprising to suddenly see Saudi Arabia on the global stage and having this prominent diplomatic role, but it's actually been something carefully curated for some years now. Prince Mohammed bin Salman was very careful, for instance, not to condemn Russia when it invaded Ukraine, nor did Saudi Arabia slap sanctions on Moscow. And in fact, years earlier, Vladimir Putin was one of the few leaders who warmly welcomed the Crown Prince at the G20 summit in 2018, this weeks after the assassination of Jamal Khashoggi, the Saudi Arabian journalist who was killed in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, which had actually left Riyadh an international pariah. So you really see this kind of very close relationship between the two leaders that's coming to a head now, Stuart.
Something different now. The organising committee of France's 2030 Winter Olympics is going to be announced today. This is in Lyon.
Yeah, the announcement was actually delayed by several months. It was planned initially for late 2024. Martin Fourcade, who is a multiple gold-winning French biathlete, was initially chosen to be president of the organising committee, but he quit spectacularly earlier this year, saying his vision did not align with that of the politicians in the regions where the Olympics will be taking place in 2013. Now, he's been replaced by Edgar Gros-Piron, a gold medal-winning skier, as president. Nonetheless, as you see here, a lot of the French papers today rather scathing about the Games. This is from Le Parisien, and this is from Libération, the left-wing paper, which says, which really slams the Games as an incredible farce set against a domestic political battle. All of this coming at the detriment, to the detriment of the environment.
Before those Games, Dipti, Milan is going to host the Winter Games, less than 12 months.
Yeah, and also, once again, the Winter Olympics in 2026 are shaping up to be a logistical nightmare, at least according to the Washington Post, which says the Olympics next year, the Winter Olympics, will bring the world together, sort of, because they'll be the most spread out games ever, stretching hundreds of kilometers between Italy, Switzerland and Austria. The trip, for instance, between the men's and women's downhill skiing venues could take up to 12 hours. Organizers say the goal was to reduce costs by using existing infrastructure, but that the downside of this obviously will mean that for fans and also athletes alike, there'll be a lot of distance to cover during those games.
And finally from Dipti, the Oscar-winning actress Julianne Moore says she's shocked that a children's book she wrote is at risk of being banned in schools.
Yeah, the Oscar-winning actress wrote a book in 2007 called Freckle-Faced Strawberries, about a young girl who has freckles and has to learn to accept them and live with them. The book, rather inexplicably, is under review as part of a book ban on schools serving children of U.S. military personnel and civilian defense employees. The ban, of course, part of Donald Trump's executive orders regarding gender ideology and racial indoctrination in schools. Once again, not quite sure why that book has been targeted. In any case, Julianne Moore said it came as a great shock to her. But let's leave you with something a little bit more joyous, Stuart. This is Edouard and Angélique, 101 and 99 years old, wow, respectively. They hold the title now for the longest married couple in Europe. They've been married since January 20th, 1943, a wow, union therefore lasting 82 years.
82 years, and they look very well on it.
They look amazing.
I mean, blimey, they look incredible. I wish I'd look like that if I ever get to that age. Dipti, thanks a lot, Dipti, got it wrong there. Send me out the papers for us.